T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You liked him before. So he's back with more.
The Drive on KFH.
Welcome back. John Mellencamp week on the show. This, of course, is Pink Houses, one of John Mellencamp's biggest hits. We are very happy right now to be joined by Dallas Cowboys legend Drew Pearson, who will be in Wichita tomorrow. Are you already in Wichita, Drew?
No, I'll be here tomorrow. I'll get in tomorrow and then been looking forward to it too. How's the weather up there?
It's actually quite gorgeous. I think you are right in between our cold spells. We had one earlier this week, and I think we're getting another one on Sunday. It'll be pretty cold, but you'll be in for some pretty decent weather, so that's good.
Yeah, that is good. I appreciate y'all making those arrangements for me.
Oh, absolutely. you're part of the memorabilia auction at the Special Olympics. It's out at the Cessna Activity Center. Willie Lanier is out there too. He's a guy who played a linebacker for the Chiefs. You know that. Your career is overlapped by a little bit. Do you ever have any run-ins with Willie?
No. And that's probably why I'm still able to talk.
Yeah, good point.
But what a devastating player, super player. It is an honor for me to be appearing with him, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Really am.
How did you get involved in the Special Olympics here, and just tell people a little bit about what's going on tomorrow?
Well, you know, I was approached by a gentleman. I think he come out of Virginia, actually, and he approached me about doing this. Just so happens my schedule is free. Everything worked out, and looking forward to coming up there. I heard this is a big event, an annual event, the 26th annual memorabilia auction, I believe, to benefit the Special Olympics. And you know, as former NFL player, or even in my retirement, or as a current NFL player, we always had a special place in our hearts for the Special Olympics, and we tried to do as much as we could, even back then when I played, and even now in my life after football, to continue to support the Special Olympics and those special athletes, those special champions that compete despite their disabilities and do it. And you see the joy on their face when they compete. They don't care who wins, you know. If they win, they're happy, of course. But if they go out there and compete, everybody's the winner. So it's a pretty cool event to be associated with.
Talking with Drew Pearson, who played his entire 11-year career in the NFL as a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys, 1973 to 1983, won a Super Bowl 12. He's in the Cowboys Ring of Honor. A long list of achievements. You kind of started, well, not really started, but you played in high school, I believe, in Tulsa. Is that right?
I played college in Tulsa.
That's right.
South River, New Jersey.
Yeah, South River, New Jersey. And you were teammates with Joe Theismann. He was the quarterback there. What was that like for you?
It was pretty cool. Joey was a great athlete, great quarterback, and he'd probably be the first to tell you how great he was. you got to kind of know Joey to understand that. Pretty confident young man. But, yeah, he was a senior when I was a sophomore. He played quarterback, and I started at wide receiver as a sophomore and split in on the South River High School team. We finished that season 9-0, undefeated. We only played 9 games then. You had no playoffs or anything. We finished 9-0, and we were unscored upon for 6 of those games. So we were a pretty devastating football team. And then I would play the varsity game on Saturday afternoon, both ways, never come off the field, and then play the JV game on Monday afternoon after school and play the quarterback position to get groomed to play the position to replace Joey. So back in the day, I was playing two games a week, and loved every minute of it.
So give me a little rundown of how you ended up in Dallas, how that came about. I mean, obviously you had a great career there. You led the team for 4 or 5 straight years in receiving, and you also had a guy by the name of Roger Staubach throwing you the ball.
Yeah, blessed to have that. I wasn't drafted. I was a free agent. That's back when we had 17 rounds of the draft. 452 players or so were drafted that year, and nobody thought I was good enough to waste a draft pick on, and I'm almost over that. I'm not as bitter as I used to be about that. You got to move on in life. You can't dwell on the negatives. But as an undrafted free agent, I had a chance to sign with the Green Bay Packers, the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Dallas Cowboys. They all came calling that second night of the draft while I was at Tulsa University. I had played 2 years at quarterback at Tulsa and then moved to receiver for 2 seasons and only caught 55 passes in 2 seasons. So I wasn't that surprised I wasn't drafted. I was disappointed I wasn't drafted, but not that surprised because of the lack of production that I had at the receiver position. But I had a chance to sign with those three storied franchise, ended up going with Dallas, and made the team my rookie year and started the 10th game of my rookie season because the two guys ahead of me got hurt and was stayed in there ever since. My second year, my first year, full year as a starter in 74, I made All-Pro, led the league in receiving yards, went over 1,000 yards in 1974 on 62 catches. So, but I had Roger Staubach, all these other great players around me. When I first came in, I had Calvin Hill and Robert Newhouse, Bob Hayes and Bob Lilly and Leroy Jordan and Mel Renfro, Rayfield Wright, all these great players. Most of the guys I mentioned are Hall of Famers. And then later, Dorsett comes, too tall, Randy White and people like that, Tony Hill. And I played 11 seasons in the NFL. We made the playoffs 10 of those 11 seasons. Of those 10 playoff appearances, I played in 7 NFC Championship games in 11 seasons. I was one game away from 7 Super Bowls in that 11-year career. So we had a lot of success, and we didn't win it every year, but the consistency of winning on a regular basis every year got us that label, America's Team.
Talking with former Dallas Cowboys receiver Drew Pearson. He'll be in town tomorrow for a memorabilia auction benefiting Special Olympics Kansas. It's out at the Cessna Activity Center. Drew, I'm going to ask you a question kind of out of personal curiosity because for whatever reason, I've been watching WWE my entire life, and you were involved in the XFL, which was owned by Vince McMahon. It's making a return, but you were involved in the original as an executive. Did you ever encounter Vince McMahon or anybody with WWE? I got to imagine Vince himself, if you ever dealt with him, was quite a character.
Oh, he certainly was. First of all, let me say he's a tremendous businessman, okay? Whatever that fluff you see, you know, with the WWE and in a wrestling ring and all that loud talking, behind all that is a very serious businessman, and that's why he wanted to start this XFL. He thought there was a need for that, but dealing with him was a pleasure. You know, once I was named the vice president and general manager of the New York Hitmen, you know, my offices, before we got our offices set up, we eventually ended up in New Jersey with our offices. But before then, I had the office out of Connecticut where out of the WWE offices, actually it was WWF back then, out of their offices, and I saw Vince McMahon and a lot of the wrestlers on a regular basis. They had a gym down there. The guys worked out all the time. They practiced all their stunts and moves and tricks and things like that. You saw the guys on a regular basis. But he really tried to make this work. He's trying to do it again. I hope he learned from the mistakes. The biggest mistake he made, I think, he's tried to own all the teams, all 8 teams in the league. And when you start that kind of business deal from the ground up, you know, it's a major undertaking financially. And so It was a little too much, I think, for him to take. And then we got NBC involved, and they wanted certain things and demanding certain things. And the problem was the product wasn't good enough. If somebody starts a spring football league and lets the product develop, don't go into it right away in 2 or 3 months like we did back then with the XFL, but let it develop. Let the product develop even over maybe a year's time till you get the right players. And there's enough players out there that are good enough to play in a league, a secondary league, and make it work. But you got to have the right logistics and the right things in place to make that happen.
Now, you had and you and Tony Hill were the first pair of receivers to go over 1,000 yards and the first running back to go over 1,000 yards. I think it was back in 79, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Compared to then to now, obviously the game has changed a lot with concussions and that sort of thing, and I'm sure you'll be biased because you're an offensive player. But do you think the game is better now or then? What would you say to that?
I there's no question the quality of play on the field was better than it is now. And it's a simple reason why. The collective bargaining agreement, we didn't have that back then. We had one, but nobody paid attention to it, at least the owners and coaches, especially Coach Landry. He never paid attention to the collective bargaining agreement. But the collective bargaining agreement limits practice time. These players can't practice. They can't work out. They can't do things together. You know, I'm involved in the media. I get the media release, and I see how much time they spend on the practice field. On a Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the limited time they have to practice in training camp. They can't have two-a-days. They can't have back-to-back two-a-days and all these things. So when they get into the season to play NFL football games, they're not really ready. There's no continuity in what they do, and then they're not ready physically. That's why you see a lot of injuries in the first few weeks of the NFL season, because the guys don't do anything in preseason, then they go play an NFL game. And the other thing is that we had consistency. I played with Staubach as my quarterback for 8 seasons, Danny White for 3. Tony Hill was there, Dorsett, the same guys in and out every year. Not much turnover. If a rookie made the team, he certainly didn't get much playing time unless he did it on special teams or something like that. So the consistency was there. And then in the consistency in the coaching staff, you know, same Tom Landry for 11 seasons, the same system, the same organization. So if you got all that kind of consistency, when you step on the field, your play on the field is going to be better. The quality is going to be better. You don't see that in the day's NFL. Players get hurt. The guys that back up the starters aren't necessarily the best players. They're players that are there simply because they fit the salary cap and they're serviceable in that way, but they're not necessarily the best players available. They can't afford to go get the best player available because the restrictions through collective bargaining. So that needs to be revisited, but I think because of the way we played on a consistent basis with the same people, the same system, that consistency and that's what established the NFL to where it is now. That's why they get the revenue they get now from TV and everywhere else, is because the foundation that was set with the quality that people wanted to be associated with, the quality of the game, is what we established back in the day.
Talking with Drew Pearson, our final moments with the former Cowboys wide receiver. Speaking of the Cowboys, what do you make of their current plight? Struggling a little bit to regain that identity that they had for so long. Do you see a return to the glory years anytime soon for Dallas?
Well, I was hoping it'd be this year, but yeah. It's been kind of up and down so far this year. And then when we lost Travis Frederick, that was a big blow. No one anticipated that. And God, we wish him well, and hopefully he'll make a full recovery. I don't know if he'll play this year, but next year. But we had some injury problems. So I think we're getting all that straightened out now. But again, you know, we got a tough schedule the rest of the way. We look good 1 week, and the next week we look so bad. So it's been a team that's been up and up. We got to see where we go. It's going to be tough in Atlanta. Looking on the injury report, we have 5 guys that are out for this game. 3 of them are defensive linemen, so it's going to be a tough test for Dallas to try to deal with Matt Ryan in that passing game with Julio Jones and Sanu and Ridley and those guys. Wow. But anyway, I think the Cowboys, they still got a chance to get in the playoffs. And, you know, as they say, guys, as once you get in there, anything can happen. And we'll see what happens if we can get in there, get on a roll, and get in there and make some noise once we get in there.
Well, Drew, we really appreciate it. You're very gracious with your time. We could have spent a lot more with you. And we'll be sure to catch up with you tomorrow. You're out here at the Cessna Activity Center, a benefit for the Special Olympics Kansas. Andy Moog and Willie Lanier are joining you. It'll be a good time. So thanks again, Drew.
You got it. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to seeing everybody tomorrow in Wichita, Kansas.
There you go. Thank you. Drew Pearson, that was fun.
Yeah, I could have asked a ton of questions.
That guy was fantastic to speak with.
Yeah, exactly. I was curious. I mean, I know we're out of time. We got to go to break.
Ask the question you were going to ask. I'll answer it.
Jason Garrett. What does he think?
Gotta go.
And I'd like to, you know, we didn't have time, but I'd like to, from somebody that played there, still invested, obviously, in the Cowboys, probably knows a lot more than we do.
I think he lives down in that area, too.
You know, so I was kind of curious on that. I know we're tight and we got to go to break, but just curious to see what somebody like Drew Pearson would have to say about Garrett.
There you go. All right, we'll take a break. Maybe we'll do like five questions between the two of us. I don't know. I almost had a five questions guest today. Couldn't quite nail her down. But we'll figure something out. We got 8 minutes, 7 minutes, you know?
Well, you're in the captain's chair, man. Whatever you decide.
Thanks. Story time with Duda.
No.
We'll be back. Stay with us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.